like what was going through your head during that time?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to do it and I knew I wanted them out, but people look at you with like disgust. You're spending like 5 times more to get them out.
No way. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I have a very special guest. Please give a warm welcome to Kayla Caputo. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited about this.
I am as well. So, okay, first off, I want to get to know you a little bit more. So tell me a little bit about yourself, maybe a bit about like your upbringing, what brought you into like content creating, going to LA, all of that stuff.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in New Jersey, grew up there, stayed there for the first 18 years of my life. And then my parents always, you know, encouraged us to like spread our wings and fly. So for college, you know, typically in my area, people would stay and go to local schools and everything. And that's fine. But my parents were like, you know, go like live dreams, like do whatever you want to do. So I was like, oh, I really like want to live in Florida. That was like my thing. I really wanted to be near the beach. I really wanted to be in hot weather year round. So picked up, moved to Florida for college, there for like 4.5 years. And then towards the end of my college experience, I was like, I feel like I've outgrown Tampa a little bit. It's kind of like a mini Miami. So you get to know everyone really quickly. You've been to all the restaurants. Like you've done pretty much everything. I visited a friend in LA. I was like, oh, that's fun, but not for me. I don't, you know, want to move there. And then, you know, that's kind of when my content creation career, I would say, was picking up. You know, I graduated doing social media full time. So I was like, maybe this is a good idea for me. Like maybe I should try it there. And something in me just like pulled me to be in LA and move here. I moved here all by myself, knowing no one. Mm-hmm. And that was January 2020. So kind of a bad time to move somewhere where you don't know anybody right. All on your own. Yeah, before the whole world shut down. So it was just very interesting, but it really pushed me to grow out of my comfort zone. And I just knew that social media was always something that I wanted to pursue as a career. I grew up watching YouTube. I saw them traveling and doing all the things. And I just was like, that's so fun. I've always had a little camera, like recording myself, even, you know, when I was really young and my mom had her camcorder out, like she was always recording us. And I was always like trying to, you know, be in the front and get my airtime. So it was just really funny. It's just always been something that I really loved.
I absolutely love that. And I cannot relate more. Like when you said the camcorder and like, your mom recording, I was the exact same way. And I look back at videos myself and I'm like, man, like I must have been such like a pain to raise from that aspect of things, because like I remember my mom was recording and I was like 3 in the video and I'm like, give me the camera, and this camera is like the size of me, so she's like, no, like I can't, you know, like just stand there. And I just wanted to like record and do this whole thing. And like growing up, I always was making like videos and these movies and music videos and all this stuff, and like making my little brother just like play a part in all of them. And like recording on photo. But I think like every single content creator, or at least like most people that I've talked to, have that like, you know, content and like video side of them when growing up. Like absolutely. The amount of beauty videos that I'd record in photo booth that would go literally nowhere, of me like doing a room tour for who? Like there's no one on my
photo booth. That's so funny. Because I feel like that was such a era of time. Like, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 22.
How old are you? Okay, yeah. 22. So I'm 27. Yeah. And we really, like, you know, everyone in my kind of generation was using their MacBooks and doing the little photo booth videos. And it was just so funny. Like, we would make full-blown music videos to songs in our backyards, edit the crap out of them, and then throw them on Facebook. And it was just like, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? Like,
I know. So and funny. Like I started on YouTube at 13, so like, and all those videos are still up. Like I look back on them and
Wow.
it's like I can't help but like cringe a little, but I also like can't help but love it because like I know I was just having so much fun. That's why I don't delete them either, because it's like it's a cool thing to just look back on and
Yeah.
like see all the growth and everything. But okay, so like you said you graduated doing content full time. So when did you start content creating?
I would say like taking it really like seriously at the end of high school. So I feel like my
Okay.
senior year, I got gifting from, I want to say Toby. It was like a clo it was kind of like Lulu's at the time, like
Okay.
it was a clothing brand. And I was like taking pictures next to my fence in my backyard, and I was posting them, and I was like, this is so funny, like what am I doing? And then once I kind of realized, like, okay, you're going to Florida for school, you're going to be around palm trees, it's going to be so easy to take pictures, because it was just pictures, you know, at the time, like there was no
Okay.
video, nothing like that. So I was like, this is great, like I can just take pictures and get free clothes. And I honestly didn't start seriously monetizing my social media. So that was 10 years ago. I didn't really start seriously monetizing until this year, this last year.
Wow.
Like, yeah, maybe like the last 2 years. Like, I don't know. Like, it was fun for me. Like, I
Yeah.
genuinely enjoyed making reels, making TikToks. And so I just always like, oh, gifting, perfect. Like, I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
I
I
just
was
feel
the
like a
same.
lot of creators, I feel like a lot of creators get taken advantage of that way because we love it and it's a passion of ours. But then we're like, wait, I didn't know like I can actually make a living
I
off of
know.
this.
I know. I literally
Yeah.
remember so vividly. You know, like I was making money, I would say like more on a part-time basis from social media, and at this point I was on internship working a 9 to 5, and it was funny because I like this was my first time meeting other creators, because where I live, like content creation, at least in the beauty aspect of things, is not really like a big thing here. So I went on a trip and that's where I met other creators, and that's when my eyes really opened to like, wait, like people with my size of following are doing this full time. Like I'm just, you know, really being taken advantage of here. So that was very, very eye-opening. But also I honestly wouldn't trade up like kind of coming up that way and doing all the free work and all the gifting, because I feel like that really built up the passion for it for me. Whereas I think a lot of people now do get into content creation and they're like, you know, well, I want to make money off it right away. And I'm like, honestly, like, you
Yeah.
do have to start off doing a lot of free work. So I feel like I'm kind of grateful that I was like oblivious to it all for a minute, you know, to kind of just really like enjoy it. And I mean, yeah, like I've been doing it for 10 years now too. So it's just crazy the progression it's made, because I never would have thought that at this stage I would be doing it full time. But I just think content's
Right.
obviously really exploded, like especially with TikTok and Reels in short form. It's actually crazy how that's gone. And how did your content kind of evolve? Like you said you were doing mostly photos, and then like watching you now, like I feel like I genuinely feel when watching your content, it's just so like a FaceTime call all the time. You're so authentic on social media. You know, you show everything so real, from like your skin journey to like just your daily life. So were you always kind of like a lifestyle, just like showing everything, or did that evolve over time?
Yeah, I feel like I shared a lot of my life in college kind of like that. I was definitely more fashion focused, and I was working with like a hair care brand for like 7 years. So I really had like no at like I wasn't using any other products. So I was kind of not really like talking about much. So fashion was kind of my thing. And
Yeah.
then this is kind of like it's unrelated, but it's related to me. I think it's important to note. I got breast implants put in January 19, and I got them taken out because I had breast implant illness in May 2021. So my
Oh my
content around
gosh.
that time really evolved. I had never really like noticed my anxiety my whole life. Like I've never thought like, oh, I have anxiety or I'm an
Right.
anxious person, but it like fully hit me around that time. I was super depressed. I laid on my couch every day. I was like, I'm a healthy like 22, 23-year-old. Like, this is weird. Something is
Yeah.
not right. And then that's around the same time that I got like insane acne. Also, because I had to get off of birth control to get the explant surgery. So it was just like a lot at once. Dealing with almost like the loss of the body that I thought I wanted, and then seeing my body now and being like, this is perfect the way it is, and I should have touched it. But that was like a whole transition period for me. So I kind of went from like fashion to sort of, I did like a little bit of makeup in college, but I really shifted very heavily to like mental health awareness and skin, like my skin journey. And a little bit of plastic surgery, like sprinkled in there, like, don't do this, think about it first. So yeah, I would say probably 2019 is kind of when my content shifted a lot towards skincare, and figuring out like why I have acne, like what's going on, getting hormone tests, a lot of wellness as well. I did a lot of wellness content because that was my major in college, like exercise physiology and nutrition.
Cool. I love when things you do in college and kind of like that traditional route kind of like blend with the content.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, like even for me, they're like, okay, you did an engineering degree, what the hell are you gonna do with it now? And I'm like, well, I started my own skincare brand, like I'm using it in a way, just not the traditional route. And I love hearing that from you. But we need to deep dive there because I actually had no idea about like your whole like implant illness or anything like that. I knew about like your acne journey, but that is crazy. So I want to really dive into that. So you said you're around what, 22, 23 when you got the implants done?
Think so. It was, yeah, I think 2019. Maybe I was 22. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned saying like, looking at yourself and thinking like, I should have thought this through. Like, what's your kind of like message to anyone at that age or, any age kind of looking to plastic surgery? What's your advice there?
Yeah, I feel like we really look at, the internet now, and we're like, oh, like this is like the ideal body type, or like clothing is kind of not made to fit flat chests sometimes. Do you feel like, oh, like I have this cute dress that I want to wear to this event, but there's nothing going on up here for me. So like maybe I'd feel more like a woman and less like a 13-year-old boy if I just had a little extra something. And so I don't know. I kind of just like, I knew I wanted it, and I was like, I have the money to do it. I'm doing it, and no one could talk me out of it. People warned me about breast implant illness. People told me, not to do it. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I have to know for myself. I'm a person that has to try something themselves. And I really do wish that I like listened. But one thing I will say is like, I can't recommend it at all. I completely actually like don't recommend it. I'm like, don't do it. It's not worth it. But for the people that are like me, don't listen to your doctor. Your doctor is gonna try and tell you, especially if it's a man, he's gonna try and tell you that all women wish that they went larger. So,
Interesting.
if your doctor says that to you, that's a red flag. Okay. That's your first red flag. So I picked three sizes. I picked like a really small size, medium size, and a large size. They do on the table sizing. And my doctor, I told him I liked the smallest or the second, smallest. And he ended up going with the largest on me. So my body like immediately rejected them. Like I looked insane. But at the time I was like, oh, like I have boobs. Life is good. So yeah, it was a very crazy experience.
And what are like the main, because I honestly don't know too much about it. What are like the main symptoms of implant illness?
So a lot of people don't recognize it as like a real illness. It's more, it shows up like very autoimmune. So nausea, weight gain, inflammation, anxiety, depression, brain fog, mood swings, like extreme fatigue. I don't know if I'm forgetting anything, but yeah, my memory is shot now. Like I'm like, huh? Like what's going on? So I feel like I need like a full heavy metal detox, but yeah, those are just a few of like the main symptoms that I personally experienced. I literally gained 25 pounds of inflammation in the first 3 months that I had them in. I was like, something is so wrong with my body. This is not normal for me. Yeah.
I mean, like I haven't had the experience with like breast implants, but in terms of like what you described, like the inflammation, all. I came off birth control after being on it for 2 years, and like 6 months after coming off it, after my body was like more regulating to being off of it, yeah, I got like the worst acne of my life, like face full. And I look back at photos, and it's funny because I look at my face and it was so inflamed, and my body just carried so much inflammation. I gained like, yeah, probably 20 pounds too. It's just insane looking back, and the brain fog while I was on it. And I do feel like my memory during the time too is like, you
Yeah.
know, it's just crazy how your body just like automatically shows like what it's like not going good with, you know? And that's
Oh,
why like
yeah.
I was super anti like going on Accutane, because I was like, I don't want to go back on a birth control to go on the Accutane. And I don't feel like Accutane is gonna help me because the acne came from the getting
Yes.
off the birth control. I'm like, what is the deal there? And I think the most frustrating part is like when you don't even feel like your doctors are listening to you in that, because like I had the experience where I just felt like Accutane was being like shoved down my throat, like you need to just go on Accutane, like this is the only thing that'll help you. And I'm like, right, but do we not see the correlation with the timeline of the birth control? Like, you know,
Yeah,
like,
it's very much like no one wants to look at the root cause
yeah.
these days. It's very much let's band-aid, let's just keep putting a band-aid, 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 and that wound is just going to keep getting bigger and not heal under there.
Yeah, exactly.
I worked with a functional doctor, Dr. Lisa Solsenti. She like really saved my life when I was first going through this because, yeah, I'm like a big like no on birth control as well, because it's like our bodies know how to regulate themselves. Our bodies know how to like, you know, do all these things without all the extra hormones. And so, yeah, I definitely fell for a few like things with acne in the beginning of my journey. Like I went on spironolactone, and that was something that was like an androgen blocker that really like messed me up. I was like, oh my God, I feel so pretty and I'm losing all this water weight, and it's a diuretic, and I'm, you know, peeing out all the water. Like I was like, wow, like I feel great. And then when I got off of it, I was like, I look like a dude. Like what is going on? And that's because you're literally taking something that's blocking the androgens in your body. So like a male, you know, like
Yeah.
hormone, it's like really bizarre how that works.
Interesting. Yeah, and like no one ever really talks about that, 'cause like I'm sure you get it too, but the amount of comments that are like, I don't understand why this girl just doesn't take Accutane, like, you know, she like wants to keep her acne. I'm like, who in the world wants that? But like also like I always just find it funny too, 'cause it's like for all they know, like I could have taken Accutane and it didn't work, you know, and also I could be on Accutane right now and my skin's not going to clear overnight even if I was on it, you know? So it's
Yeah.
just so
Like,
funny to me.
and listen, don't get me wrong. Like, I have a lot of friends that are on Accutane. They're super happy, amazing results.
Yeah.
But I look to the people who have been on it 3 times. Like,
Yeah,
I look
same.
to like Alex Earle, for example, and I'm like, this girl has said publicly that Accutane, she's taken it 3 separate times and still has her acne come back. Or for me, when I was on spironolactone, my acne was completely gone, all my scars, my texture, everything was perfect. But then when you get off of the medication, that's, you have to understand like what happens then, because
Yeah.
like it comes back.
It's
It
not treating
really
the root
comes
cause.
back.
And like yeah, I'm like it does obviously work for some people, but it just depends on like why your acne's there. And like for me it was so correlated
Yes.
to coming off the birth control and obviously having a hormonal imbalance. And obviously that's gonna take a long time for me to I'm like still figuring out, like I think I've, you know, done a lot of things right and I've seen my acne reduce, but it's not gonna go away completely. And then I have so much scarring left from it because I literally scar so easily. Which that was
Same.
a thing I had to kind of get over too, because I'm like, you know what? The biggest thing for me with acne is like the inflammation and the pain. If I have some scarring left, like
I'll
so be it.
take
And
it.
I had to just get over that mental kind of barrier of like that beauty standard of like, fuck, like my skin's never gonna look so smooth as it did before. And looking back at like old pictures of myself, and I just had to like stop myself there and be like, you know what? Like you're just not there anymore, and like this is what you're dealing with. And it would be great if you did just have scarring left and not like the acne itself. So, I think that's such a mental thing. And back to the implants, like how was that journey for you coming off or like getting the implants removed since it was something that you wanted for so long? Like what was going through your head during that
Yeah.
time?
Oh my God. It was really difficult. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I knew I wanted to do it and I knew I wanted them out, but at the time my relationship was very new and rocky, and I felt almost like my worth was in like my appearance.
Right.
And I felt like it was just a weird time, and I was just really not like fully confident in my scars and everything. And so I don't know. I just felt like, why me? Like, why did I have to go through this? Or why can't, I just be healthy? And it was like a lot of anxiety, depression, and just feeling like I'm not worthless, but just like I can't even explain what I felt. But it was just so bizarre having something on it, and it's just taken away. And you're like, okay, now I have to learn to love this new body. And I really went through like a phase of like, I was like, no, like this is okay. Like, you look better, actually. So it was just like a lot of unlearning things that I thought were the beauty standard, because there is none in my eyes.
And do you think there was learning around like kind of the irony of like the one thing you wanted so much was actually the one thing that caused you like so much pain and like hurt to your body?
Yeah, definitely. I luckily don't feel like I've had like a experience since then where I've been like, you like all the signs are showing you that you don't need this because it's whatever XYZ. I definitely feel like it's helped me like go easier. Like, I'm like, oh, whatever, wasn't meant to be, like, let go, with like opportunities or anything like that. So
That's crazy. I can't imagine, like, I obviously haven't gone through that experience exactly, but I think the letting go part is like the biggest thing of just like, okay, like, this is not. And I think sometimes the hardest part is that, like, why me? Because you see other people who, probably in your situation got breast implants and had no issue and, could have like that image they were looking for and that boost of confidence. And I think even for me, like, I looked at friends who got off birth control and nothing happened to them. And I'm like, of course, but I think kind of flipping the page the other way and being like, okay, like, what positive thing can I take out of this? Like, if it wasn't for this, I probably wouldn't have changed my diet. I probably wouldn't have changed how I was exercising, how I was managing my stress, my sleep schedule, like all of these little things. I probably wouldn't have the confidence I have in my skin now, which I always say so ironically that I had never felt more confident in my skin than when my skin looked its worst because I had no other choice. Like, you in those moments, you have literally no other choice. And you kind of explain that's how you felt when you got the breast implants removed. And
Oh, yeah.
it's so crazy because I think from the outside in, people look at it and they're like, how? Like,
Yeah.
how at this point are you choosing to like be confident? But it's such a conscious choice that you have to make of like, it's either rock bottom or I like try to look at the positive.
100%. And I think a part that people don't fully like realize, especially with like a surgery like that, for example, like, you're spending like five times more to get the out, then like, at least for me, getting them in was like $6,000. Getting them out was like 32,000.
No way.
It's a very invasive surgery if you want them to remove the actual scar tissue that forms around the implant. It's more money. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, why would I want to leave the capsule that formed around this toxic thing? Like, why would I want to leave that in my body? So yeah, it's very expensive. It's basically like a reconstructive surgery. So yeah, brutal.
And like, did that surgery, like the removal surgery, leave you with like a lot of scarring?
It actually didn't. So I went to an incredible doctor in Beverly Hills, and my scar is actually smaller than my original implant scar. So I don't know how he did it, but yeah, I basically are like invisible from my explant surgery.
That's such a crazy journey. And I think especially in this time, like, I think our generation, like growing up on social media and stuff and like seeing this beauty standard, you're so right that like you see certain outfits and everything, and you're like, I would love to wear that, but you don't feel like you could. And how do you think your perspective on that has changed since, of just like, do you feel like you're more like, you know what, like I'll wear what I want, it doesn't like, you know, have to look like
Yeah.
how it did on the model? Or
Definitely. Yeah. I just kind of also, I make more like conscious at like decisions on clothing now of like,
okay.
that's not going to be flat on me, or bra and make that look like I have, you know, bigger boobs than I actually
Yeah.
do. So I feel like it's just really, you know, thinking through the things that I'm buying. And I feel like, I think that's why I've always, I'm coming into like my bridal era pretty soon here. And I'm like,
Okay.
I'm so terrified to wedding dress shop because I feel like that's where I hold the most like insecurity, is being in
Yeah.
like a gown, a dress, something of the sort, and like feeling like not womanly enough. So I'm like, ugh, I've never been excited to do that. I've never been excited to go wedding dress shopping, but has to happen. So yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see like your journey through that, 'cause I think it's gonna, like, knowing your mindset just through this conversation, although like you're like, this is something I know I'm gonna struggle with, I feel like you are just kind of gonna show the journey maybe, and then it's gonna help
Yeah.
other people. And I think I've heard that so much, not only like body, but also like skin. Like, you know, like so many like soon to be brides are just like, I just want my acne to be gone for my wedding day. And I think there's so much pressure just like on this one singular day to look like
Yeah.
your most like beautiful self, which, you know, when you think about it, it's like that day you're marrying the person that like loves you for you authentically, like through all your ups and downs, like your skin at your
Yeah.
worst, your, you know, like everything.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's just like more, I mean, I'm not like at that stage yet, but do you feel like it's more just like the outside pressure of like everyone else in the wedding day as a whole, or do you feel like it's like the pressure to look like perfect for this person?
I don't know. It's definitely not for him because yeah, he's definitely never been like judgmental of my skin. I feel like I met him with clear skin, and then a few months after, like that's when I kind of went through all the skin issues. So I feel like he's always been very supportive. And the only time he's ever made a comment on my skin is, "Your skin looks really good today." He's never
Yeah.
been like, "Oh, it looks like worse today," you know? So that's really,
Yeah.
I feel like it's more so my, I've definitely had like insecurities before. Like I've gotten a nose job, like, you know, I've gotten surgeries and whatever. So I feel like more so like being able to look back on wedding photos and be like, wow, like I'm happy with everything. But I feel like I've gotten to a point like now where I'm like, I tip a photo that's taken of me. Like I'm never that friend that's like, can you edit this or can you fix it? Like I'm just like, yeah, post it. I don't care. Like you don't
Yeah.
have to show me. So I feel like as long as, you know, I find a good dress, I'm sure I'll be happy and just fine. So yeah, I'm not too worried about that. It's more so just like, yeah, the pressures of like, oh, this is the beauty standard, and you know, you don't have boobs to look like a woman in your dress on a wedding day.
Yeah, I think it's always that mindset of like you want what you don't have type of thing, where I feel like there's so many women with, you know, big breasts who are like, oh, I wish I could like wear that cute little top. It looks so nice if I didn't have these in the way, you know? So it's like always, it's
Yep.
always like that, like no matter what. And I think, you know, the whole idea of like comparison to being able to like appreciate the beauty of someone else, even though like they don't look like you, but then also like appreciating the differences that you have. And it's so much easier said than done, because like we all do it, but I just think you always kind of have to think of it as like, okay, like what, like your best friend or like your, you know, family or whoever it is, like they may look different from you, but like you just look at them and you just think like they're so beautiful and everything.
Right.
So, but we
And
don't do that with ourselves, right?
yeah, and that there's like always that saying going around, it's like you'll never, like you don't re you'll never remember your friends for being the one with the clear skin, or the one that
No.
always fit in her jeans, or the one that had the, like, you know, like that's
Yeah.
not the things that you're ever remembered for. So I feel like that was something that definitely, it was like a whole journey, like with my skin and the implant whole transformation. I think when I turned 25, I was like, my frontal lobe literally developed. I was like, no more factors. Like, this stuff is so damaging. The way that you like look in the mirror and see something completely different than what you actually look like because of these filters that you're constantly using. It was like so, it was something that was like very popular on Instagram. So I was like, I
Totally.
really need to just stop using these. So
And
I just stopped.
I love that you don't use them. I love that, like, all your skin videos, makeup videos, all of that, like, you're just showing your texture. And just like on a day to day too, like, like you'll be vlogging stuff. And I just love that because I think that's the one thing with social media where it's so deceiving. And like, I think being a creator, we can detect it a lot more, but for the like
My
average
God.
person, like, even this podcast, like, because it's recorded more from far out, and sometimes I'll be wearing makeup and I'll talk about like my acne journey, and I'll get comments that are like, but you don't even have acne. I'm like, girl, like, if you just came in a little closer, like, you'd see everything. But the lights and the camera, like, really do change things up, and I think it's so
Yeah.
important to show like kind of the other side of it, and I love that you do that. And how has like your journey been, especially, I think struggling with adult acne is so much more different than like struggling with it as a teen, because as a teen, I was always told you'll grow out of it, you'll grow out of it. And I'm like, what, like, when is this girl, like, when am I growing
Time's
out of
up.
this, so like, and also like having it as adult, it just feels like something you should be even more embarrassed about, because like you look around, like most adults don't have acne. So then you're like, why? Yeah, again, like, why me? Why am I struggling with this? So how
Yeah.
has that been for you, especially like kind of now going into your later 20s, still like struggling with acne?
Yeah, I mean, really frustrating being on social media because, well, first of all, I just wanted to mention this before we moved on from that point. Like, even the beauty filter is so like deceiving because it doesn't show that like someone's
You're
using
wearing
it,
it.
but I can
Sometimes
clock
it
it from like a
glitches.
mile away.
Yeah,
I'm
sometimes it
like,
glitches
you
and you
are
can tell
literally,
it.
you're blurry. Like, even
Yeah,
your eyebrows aren't clear. Like,
yeah, you can
whatever.
tell. Yeah, but a lot of people
It
can't.
drives
Like,
me
the average
insane
viewer
when people are like,
can't.
this is how I cleared. Yeah, like, this is how I cleared my acne. I'm like, with the beauty filter? Anyway. It's like so much, it's just so much better to just be upfront and be like, I cleared up my acne, but now here are my scars that I'm
Yeah.
dealing with. It just makes no sense. But anyway, sorry. Next point. I feel like having adult acne with being on social media, it's crazy. Like, especially on like Instagram, I'll like post a story or say something about my skin, and people will take that as an open invitation to recommend products, treatments,
I
services.
know.
Oh my gosh, like maybe you should try acne. I'm like, oh, like also, it must be your gut. It must be your liver. Did you get blood work done? Is it your hormones? And I'm like, guys, I've literally done a full panel 3 times now. I know what's wrong with me. Like, I just feel like people think like, do you think I'm stupid? Like, do you actually think that I would see my face do this at this age and be
Yeah.
like,
Everything's fine.
it'll go away?
Yeah.
Like, no, obviously I know what I'm doing. I think the gut health comments bother me the most because when I was dealing with like all of my implant stuff, I was really focused on my gut health because I was like, if I have my gut health, like my body can really fight on until I'm able to get these out. So I was working with my functional doctor at the time and doing a whole gut routine system situation.
Yeah.
And I used to literally bloat the second I ate food. Like, I could not digest anything
Wow.
properly. And now, like, I can comfortably eat the foods that were like on my whatever trigger
Triggers,
list.
yeah.
So, like, dairy, gluten, all the things. And people are like, don't eat dairy, don't eat gluten. And I'm like, my skin was worse when I was not eating those things. So I know, like, it's just the problem that I have with sharing acne on social media is it's different for everyone. Like, no one should take anything as absolute fact. Like, if someone says this worked for me, like this is the cure, blah, 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 like it's going to be different for everyone. Like, there's going to be a different treatment system that's going to work differently for everyone. And so I just think people should maybe be a little more careful with the advice that they give
I agree.
in comments and DMs. It's like, don't you think I tried that? I don't
Yep.
know.
Yeah, and
It's
I know
funny.
like it doesn't always come, like people are like, sometimes they're trying to help, but I think the difference is like being on social media, like, okay, when you're, let's say you're not an influencer, right? And you like open up to someone about your skin and they give you an honest suggestion of like, hey, this will work for me. And you're like, okay, like I've tried that or I didn't try it. But when it's magnified to like hundreds, thousands of comments from people, it's so overwhelming that you just want to like turn it all off and be like, I'm not listening to anyone. Like, I'm on my journey. Like, please, you know, but it's tough because people, you know, you do open up about it and people are like, I want to help. Like, I want to, you know, so it is tough. And I think like a lot of times, for me, it's just like not really like reading too many like of the suggestions and all that because it does become really overwhelming. And I think too, I want to go back to what you said on about like social media and people coming on and being like, this is how I cleared my skin, like, and wearing the beauty filter. I think so many of the times I'll like show a product and I think it's working so great for me and I'll show it. And people just expect me to go from having severe acne to perfectly smooth skin. And I'm like, even if this product worked, like the redness you see underneath, that's like a
Scar.
post-inflammatory mark. Like that's gonna be there for a while. But like I can tell you, like it's a lot more flat. Like obviously it's hard to tell that stuff on camera. But I think people expect these like overnight results from like cystic acne to like perfectly baby smooth skin. And they can't like seeing real results, like it can't be comprehended because it's just what we've been fed for so long, so we expect nothing less. And if we don't see that like 0 to 100 result, we think, okay, clearly this product doesn't work. And with that, yeah, like people never talk really about acne scars or really show that. It's just like I had acne and now I have perfectly smooth like baby skin, and people just expect that. And then to add on to that, I think people put way too much credit to like a skincare routine and for what your skin actually looks like. Because I see so many times when, you know, it'll be a creator with like naturally really smooth, clear skin. Everyone's like, drop the skincare routine, drop the skincare routine. And I'm like, a skincare routine is great. I mean, I'm like a huge skincare girly. I advocate for skincare every day, but I always say it's like 30% of the pie. Like it's gonna help and it's a supplement. I had a full episode. Who was it with? I think it was with Patsy. I don't know if you know her. She's from the UK, but she talks a lot about her journey with cystic acne and everything. And I love that she said like skincare is like a supplement. It's the same with like when you're eating. You can't just be like, oh, I'm taking all these supplements and it's gonna be like you have to still eat, but the supplement can like, you know, just be a little boost. I think that's the same thing with skincare of just like using a sunscreen to protect your skin when you're dealing with cystic acne so it doesn't scar even more, and like just little things like that, but it's obviously not going to be the entire solution.
Yeah, I feel like people are definitely very confused with, results on social media. And I don't think people that don't have acne actually know what acne scarring can look like because everyone's is going to scar differently. But yeah, I have like super red marks. So like I'll have people be like, her skin is completely broken out right now. Like she shouldn't even be doing like when I like shave my face. And I'm like, my face was actually clear at that time and it was all acne scars.
It was so funny. Last year I went to Romania, like that's where I'm originally from, and I was at the beach, and obviously seeing all these people that I haven't seen since I was literally like 3 years old, they immediately see my skin and they're like, what's wrong with you, right? So this lady was like, you know, I know this great doctor. They're like actually doing like tests on acne to like kind of figure out more of the root issue. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I'd actually be willing to try it out. 'Cause she's like, yeah, you like, and I'm like, honestly, my skin's doing pretty good right now, but like, I'm definitely open to trying it because like, it's not something I've tried before. And I make the appointment, I go, and she looks at my skin. She's like, you have no active acne right now. And I'm like, oh, I know. She's like, we literally can't do anything if you don't have an active acne because that's where we pull a sample from. And it's just funny because I had so much scarring that, especially like, I was at the beach, it's like 35 degrees outside, like it's hot, like my skin's gonna get more red and like more inflamed. But I think for us as the individual, we know when it's more of like a feeling, like it's less of like what the skin actually looks like. And I can feel when my skin's clear because it's not hurting and there's no tension anywhere, like all of that. It's yeah, but I think.
I just like literally, I had this feeling yesterday, and I cannot wait for the day that I never have to feel like that ever again. But like, if I go out after like a facial or extractions, and I go out obviously with no makeup, and I just feel like people look at you with like disgust. And it's like, cover that up, or like, what are you doing? And it's just like, it feels
Unhygienic. Yeah.
so humiliating, and it just is
Yeah.
like, I can't wait to like never feel that ever again, because it just feels like dehumanizing, like you don't deserve to be here. And it's
I
like,
know.
it's my fucking skin. Like, I just got it squeezed for the
Yeah.
last 2 hours. Like,
She's
please,
struggling. She's
it
struggling. And yeah,
hurts.
back to like, especially as an adult, because it's like, it's almost this pressure of like, get it together, you know? Like,
Yeah.
and as a woman too, it's like, come on, what
Oh.
are you doing? You know? And then you wear makeup, and then people are like, well, that's the reason you gotta act.
Oh my
It's literally
God, the
not.
makeup comments. I'm
Those drive
like,
me
please
crazy.
stop.
And I swear, like, obviously there are some products I've found that break me out, but I swear
Yeah.
sometimes when I do wear full glam, like more consistently, I'm not touching my face as much because, like, you know, I don't want to mess up the makeup. And then I'm like cleansing more thoroughly and doing like all that. And like, I don't know. I haven't found that makeup for me makes a huge difference on how my skin is.
No,
There are, and
it doesn't.
obviously, like, there are some products, like, if I use a product and the next day I wake up with like tiny little pimples, yeah, that's probably the
Yeah.
product. But like cystic acne that like I can feel under my skin,
It
I
was
doubt if
already
the
there.
concealer I used, she was there. She was
So sorry.
ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you, obviously you mentioned like you're kind of like a huge advocate to like really think about plastic surgery and like you're like no, like don't do the breast implants. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? Like, because you mentioned you have gotten a nose job, so like, did you feel like you have a very different perspective on that versus like the breast implants?
Yes. So I think the whole situation is really funny because back in 2018, I was dating this guy. I was like, I have a nose job booked. Like, I'm doing it, whatever. And he started crying. I was like, what? This is so weird. He was, you don't need it. Like, you're beautiful the way you are. My parents were pissed off. Like, he called my parents and told them that I was like, what the hell? So I canceled that
Yeah.
surgery. And when we broke up, I was like, I'm just gonna go get boobs now. Like, fuck the nose job. I'm doing the breast implants. Like, whatever, this is for me. So, it was so funny because that was the surgery that I originally wanted. I didn't even really. So anyway, then in 2000, I don't even remember the year, but a few girls that I knew had gone to this doctor and got their noses done, whatever. And I was like, oh, like, love that. They look so good. They look natural. You still look like yourself. So I knew that that's what I wanted. So I actually ended up doing that July 2020. So I was like, perfect. Sitting home anyway. Like, it's the perfect time to do this. And so got that done. And then yeah, a year later is when I got the implants out. So I was like, this is what I wanted all along anyway.
Yeah.
And that recovery was so freaking easy. Like, I have no notes. Like, it was the easiest surgery I've ever gone through. Recovery was super easy. I was happy with my result. My doctor, I really just have to like give it up to him, 'cause I feel like he has done probably over 100 people that I know from social media now at this point. Like, I feel like I've sent 100 people to him, and everyone's happy. So I'm like, this is just, he's just amazing. So yeah, Dr. Sagal in Orlando, he's amazing. But yeah, I definitely feel like that was such a different experience. And I still feel like if you want plastic surgery, you're gonna do it anyway. But I feel like with social media, constantly taking pictures, videos, doing all the things, I was like, I want to like feel confident from all angles. Like I said, like not care if a picture gets taken and posted. Like, so that was for me, like my nose was just always a huge insecurity of mine. Clearly, I've had lots of insecurities. But that's like one thing that I don't think I'll ever regret.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you kind of respond to like, because I'm very much of the stance like, do whatever like makes you happy, makes you more confident. Just
Yeah.
like think it through before and like, you know, kind of what you mentioned as well. But do you ever get comments or like how do you respond to kind of the whole idea? I know like a lot of people criticize like Kylie Jenner, for example, for this of like, well, your daughter's gonna grow up and have like your old features. So how do you kind of deal with that, and then how do you kind of respond
I
to
was
it?
gonna say, I don't think I'll regret it until I have kids.
Okay.
Because I feel like maybe my kids would be like, what? But at the end of the day, once my kid turns 18, 19, 20, 21, if they're like, I hate my nose, I'm not gonna be like, no, you can't, because like I did it, so I'm not gonna tell them no, but like I paid for my own. So like work, save, and you can pay for your own. Anyway, yeah, I feel like with plastic surgery, it's such a tricky line. And I feel like I definitely had someone say something to me at one point, like, oh, just like don't take it too far, or like don't get obsessed with it. And I was like, what, like it just felt like almost like I literally got a nose job, and like I don't know. It's definitely like a lot when you like actually think about it, like all of the things that I've done all together. But at the end of the day, like I have no plans to ever go under the knife ever again. Like no plans, never want to do anything ever again. And I think that was like the benefit of taking out the implants and not just getting smaller ones put back in, is like you have to consistently go under like every 10 to 15 years. So yeah, that was something for me that was also really important, is like making sure that I never have to do this again. But yeah, it just feels like judgy almost, of like, oh, like don't get addicted to it. And it's like, I literally, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I was ever like addicted to plastic surgery. It was just something that two things that I knew I always wanted, and one of them just so happened to not work out.
I think it's just like such the strong contrast of like people telling you like something's wrong with like your appearance, you know? But then if you do go do something about it, then it's like, oh, you know? It's like the same with wearing makeup with acne. It's like, cover that up. We don't want to see it. And then you put on some makeup and they're like, well, you just cake up your face to all that makeup. You're like a catfish. This like it never ends, and it's like you can't win either way. But I think like you have such an interesting take on like doing what makes you confident, but also thinking it through and like trying to still appreciate like you for you and your the beauty that you do have. And I think part of it just does come with age as well.
100%.
Kind of switch up gears a little bit. Because I saw your face shaving video, and I'm honestly like more just curious about anything else because I live in Canada, so there's no TikTok shop here at all.
Oh,
So I'm curious, what the hell happened with that face identifier spray?
yeah.
If you want to talk
So,
about
of course, yeah. So, by the way, you'll probably see a bunch of in Canada, you'll see my videos, and they'll all say maybe like sponsored, but they're not. It's in US, it says creator earns commission, and there's like a link. So a lot of my videos are TikTok shop. Yeah, so I got this spray in. I saw it like maybe over a year ago from a different brand, and I've since tried that brand and hated it. But the Skin Body brand that I posted the video on, I think it has like 28 million views.
It went crazy.
Yeah, I actually ended up selling a lot of them too, which is great. But it's just like a spray, and it creates like little like dust particles
Fibers,
on each of your hair strands. And it really does work, because once you shave the hair and you spray it again, like there's nothing there. There's actually no like fibers. It's just like dust. It works. I personally don't think shaving my face makes me break out more. I've never had an issue with it. I love shaving my face. I feel like it helps my skincare penetrate better. It's
Makeup
almost
sits better.
like exfoliation, really. But yeah, I love it. It was great. I also like don't mind shaving with oil too, but it has to be like a good oil, like an anti-acne type of oil. Especially having acne, I feel like that face spray was such a good option for me, because I didn't break out after it. So I was like, this is great. Like, this is something that my skin can tolerate.
Because I know like a lot of creators had issues. Was it a different face spray company that like
No, it
wasn't
was the
paying that?
same
Or
one. Someone made like videos saying that they never got paid from like the commission. So I
Like
don't know.
TikTok shop is so foreign to me, like because like we don't have it here. So
Oh my gosh.
I always notice though, yeah, it does say sponsor, but I always can tell when it is a TikTok shop video because then there isn't like an hashtag ad or like an at to the brand or
Yes.
anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting how like here it all just looks like sponsored.
Oh, it's such a bummer too, because it's honestly like it's fun for me. Like I've always been like a product reviewer type of girl.
Yeah.
I've always shared, and like it's crazy the income that you can make from that app. Like it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like here in Canada, not only we don't have the Creator Fund and we don't have TikTok Shop. And I'm a part, like I literally post product reviews every single day
It's
for
crazy.
free. Like
Like
literally for
that's
free.
it's very crazy. I can't even believe it.
Yeah. And then the one time I do an ad and then I get a comment that's like, oh, like you're just taking the
Yeah.
money. And I'm like, this is literally the only way I can make money off of this is when I
Also,
do
the
take
thing
an
that
ad.
sucks with ads too, like I have to mention this, is like especially with skincare, people don't realize like when you get contracted to do it, when you're testing
Right.
the product out, taking those before and afters, using only that product to make sure that you're getting the results that you
Yeah.
want. And then you do another one a few months later, and then they end up like getting posted around the same time. And then people are like, well, which one is it? And it's like they both work in different ways. They were used at different times. Like it's so like it's tricky with skincare. So I feel like I'm like, I need to take a step back because I just,
I agree. I
yeah.
agree so much with skincare, and I feel like I've like dialed down on like my skincare like partnerships just because it is so hard. And like now I just started a Raslo, so with that prescription, like I obviously I'm my skincare has been so basic recently, like moisturizer,
Yeah.
like a healing ointment, and a Raslo. Like I literally, and then I use my sunscreen from my brand in the morning, and that's like literally all I use on a daily. So it is tough when I'm like using other products and integrating, and then people are like, wait, which one is it? Or even with my
Yeah.
skincare brand, people ask me like, did your skincare brand clear your skin? And I'm like, well, no, because like that's not what the system was made for. Like, you
Yeah.
know, like it works great for me, but it's not gonna clear my, like again, it's not gonna be what
Yeah, like
clears my
that's not what
cystic
it's
acne.
for. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if it was an acne targeted system, again, it's not gonna be like the one thing that completely clears my skin. And it just goes to show with skincare, like I'm literally on a prescription retinoid right now. I have been for like over 3 months and I'm still like purging and peeling from it. So like it just takes so much time with skincare, and people think like an over-the-counter product is gonna clear your skin overnight. Like it's
Yeah.
not, like it's
It's
simply
really like
not.
the whole, it's like a 6 month type of cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing like now mainly for your skin?
So I have been getting reached out to by Sonia Dekar. She's like an amazing facialist in Beverly Hills. She's like super expensive, whatever. So I've been getting reached out to them for months. I finally had a friend that went, and she was cleared up in 6 weeks. So I was like, okay, like I've tried literally everything. I've gone to face reality specialists. I've done all the things. Like my skin looks good for like 2 days, and then the like boils under my skin come
Yeah.
back. Like it literally is like thick, whatever.
I know the exact
Like you
feeling of
can
like,
extract it, but it's just gonna keep filling up with
yeah,
whatever is
it
under
just
my
keeps
skin.
going.
So yeah, this was my second time going to her. I'm in an acne boot camp with her. I have all her products. I'm only using the ones that she has
Okay.
recommended to me for right now. And I will say, like, I have a little bit of makeup on at the moment, but my skin is looking good. I'm feeling hopeful. It's like a $30,000 boot camp, I'm pretty sure. And she's just doing it for social media with me. And I'm like so grateful. And I think also like sometimes people are like a little weird with social media, like, oh, like why do you do social media? Like you just want the free clothes or to go to events. And it's like, no, it's
Right.
for things like this where I'm able to share my experience, but that's like priceless, like that
Yeah.
kind of, you know, acne treatment and boot camp. So yeah, she like really is like an acne expert and just very confident in like getting everything out of the skin, getting the infection out of the skin. And then she has recommended like hormonal acupuncture to me. I'm
Oh,
like, I
cool.
love that. Like, I will definitely go do that. Just
I've
to
heard so much
help.
about that, but like I've never
So I've
tried
done
it.
so I lost my period for like 3 months, I think, after having my surgery.
No way.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, like I really need like to get my period back, like whatever. And I
Yeah.
went and got acupuncture, right? I'm pretty sure it's called acupuncture
Yeah,
when they
yeah,
put little needles
yeah.
in you.
Yeah.
And I got it the next day. It was a menstrual like specialist, like for acu like they specifically put the acupunctures in the areas that you needed for your menstrual cycle. Yeah, I got it the next day. I was like, that is literally incredible. So I'm actually gonna go and do that. I'm gonna do the like hormone therapy acupuncture, and I'll let you know how it goes if it's helping me balance out my hormones. But yeah, I'm just excited like to have someone that actually like listens and isn't like Accutane. Like she's like,
Yeah.
we're not gonna do it, and we're actually gonna. She's like, we're gonna clear your skin up by week three, and then we're gonna work on the scars. I'm like, girl, you're selling me a miracle, but I believe it because my friend has PCOS and has no acne right now.
That's crazy. And she's not on
So I
like any
know, yeah, like I
prescriptions or anything like
know,
that.
right. And I know topical isn't like we said, it's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she's been telling me like diet, this, that.
Yeah. It's everything. It's
I am
everything.
like so, I've been restrictive before where I've
Yeah.
like cut everything out and it caused me to like binge eat a couple years ago. And so I'm like finally at a point where like I eat what I want and I feel good about my body. So like I don't wanna put restrictions on myself. So I'm like, hopefully it'll work for me without doing the restrictive diets. But I'm confident that it will, you know, like I'm
Yeah.
like, I feel like my body, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Just gotta see it through, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think like with the dye and everything, like obviously, as I mentioned, like having acne has made me more conscious of like what I'm eating and stuff. But it's so funny.
Right.
I've filmed like a few like what I eat in a day, and just to show people that I'm not eating ice
Sugar.
cream all day long.
Yeah.
It's crazy people assume that, right?
I know.
But of course, like, it has made me more conscious, but I think when I stress too much about it, then like the stress from the eating is like
Right.
causing me to break up more. So it's like just
Yeah.
creating like more of a calmness in all
100%.
aspects of your life, and not
Yeah.
like stressing out if you do want a sweet treat every now and then.
Right. Like I stopped. I was like really into like the whole Swedish candy when that was like a huge trend. And I was like, oh, like it's from Sweden. Like it must be like more natural
Yeah,
sugars, like
yeah.
healthier. But like I was eating Swedish candy like all day, every day. I was
Yeah.
obsessed with it. I have like such a sweet tooth. So
Same.
now that I'm not eating Swedish candy literally ever, I'm like, okay, like I can have like a sweetened latte. Like I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah, it's all about the
You know,
balance.
I'm like, I'm never gonna be able to do the 100% no sugar. Like that's just not for me. Like
I agree. Like
I
I
can't.
like a year and a half ago completely like cut alcohol just
Yeah.
like completely, and that like has not fazed me at all, because I like
Yeah,
didn't
me
really
either.
drink at all. So I'm like, I honestly do not care. Like, but when I and then when I think about that, I'm like, well, if I was able to do that, like maybe I could do a sugar. I would
I
literally be
can't.
miserable. Like it gives me so much joy to like, especially when I'm
Same.
traveling, to like try a little sweet treat at like a bakery. And like I obviously am not here like eating donuts all day long, but
Yeah.
like am I gonna enjoy one from time to time? Absolutely. And I
I
think
freaking
removing the
love a
shame.
donut.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
So
anytime we
good.
go out to dinner, like I am a dessert at
Oh,
dinner girl. Like
same.
I will
Same.
save room for
For
dessert. Like
dessert.
I'm a dessert girly.
I
So
never
yeah, I
get the
feel.
people. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not like, everyone's like, well, I order a drink with dinner. I'm like, I'm good with, like, I don't need
Yeah.
that, but I need my like lava cake after dinner.
Oh my God, I love a lava cake. Oh, and
So
that's funny that
good.
you mentioned alcohol because yeah, I've been sober since April 2021.
Okay.
So like a little over 3 years.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And I
Yeah.
think like that was, I always noticed like when I even just had a couple drinks, I would break out. So I'm like, eh,
Yeah.
it's not like I don't like love it that much anyways. Like
Don't need
she's
it.
gone.
Yeah.
And I like
She's gone.
I'm bouncing off the walls like anytime I go out anyways, and people think I'm
Yeah.
like so drunk that I'm like, I'm fine. I don't need
Yeah.
it.
Like we don't need
But
it. No.
it's so funny that how that goes with
Yeah.
just all of these like different health things. I think just as a woman, it's such a common experience. And I thank you for sharing and opening up on the podcast today about your whole journey. I'll have all of Kayla's social media links down below in the description. You guys should definitely go follow her. As I said, your content's so authentic and like always feels like you're just like getting ready or like running an errand with like me. Like it's you just are so authentic on social media, and I love that, and I think that's
Oh.
what we need more of on socials. So I really enjoy what you do and just keep doing. I'm excited to see your skin journey,
Thank you. Yeah.
and your whole like bridal journey as well, and just all of that. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the pod today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so everyone listening, we post every single Sunday at 7 a.m. MST on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. Make sure to subscribe or follow so you don't miss out on a future episode. Remember, tell yourself something you love about your skin today, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, everyone.